I am looking forward with great anticipation to seeing the face of my Lord. I am looking forward to seeing His face. I am looking forward tonight to seeing His hands. I'm looking forward to seeing the scars in His side and on His hands. Because those scars represent something tonight. Have a burden the Lord put on my heart to share. Desire and interest in your prayers. On the scars of Christ. Over in the book of John in the 20th chapter, we'd like to begin reading with the 19th verse. This is after the crucifixion and after the resurrection of Christ. It said, "The same day of the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews." You take a note of that before that the disciples were not out boldly proclaiming a resurrected Lord. They had received the message. They had heard that He had risen from the dead. But we find that as a body, they were behind closed doors. In fear. And so they were there together. And consider the condition. Not only were they in fear, consider the psychological condition of the disciples at that time. The one that they had placed their hopes in. Yes, they had heard He'd risen from the dead and He had revealed Himself to a very few of them. But yet there was still a lot of uncertainty. There were still a lot of things they did not know and they didn't understand. Peter, of course, had failed the Lord. And yes, he had received a message to go tell Peter that I've risen from the dead. But Peter was still in a broken condition. He had been in a place of failure. Yes, he had repented. But have you ever failed the Lord and repented? How did you feel? You just wanted to get behind closed doors and help nobody looked at you. So behind closed doors, it said Jesus and stood in the midst. And He said unto them, "Peace be unto you." Do you know how wonderful that is in a condition of hopelessness and brokenness and uncertainty that Jesus Christ appeared? And His message was, don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid of me. You don't need to be afraid that I'm going to reprove you and put you in your place. But be of good cheer. Just don't be afraid. And He went on to say, and when He had said, so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad. In other words, were they not glad when they first saw Jesus? The Scripture says that they were glad when they had seen the scars in His hands and the scars in His side. Why is that? It was because the scars proved the identity of Jesus Christ. Do you know tonight that when we are wondering who is at work and I want to see the Lord, that the resurrected Lord still has scars in His hands? Jesus who went through the door. Now this is a Jesus that had a different body than He had before. Amen? This was a Jesus that had died and had resurrected and still His body had scars in it. I don't read of Jesus walking through doors before the resurrection. But after the resurrection, and there are other accounts of it, that He appeared to people. And He also disappeared on people. He did not do that before He had a resurrected body. But the resurrected body of Jesus Christ still had scars. And the disciples were glad when they had seen the scars because they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is the Lord. I am so thankful Jesus was nailed to the cross. When He was on the cross, the soldier came and pierced his side. They would have broken his leg, but the prophecy said that not one of his bones would be broken. And so this, he, instead of breaking his legs, and so he would suffocate and die, he saw this Jesus is already dead, but he took his spear and he drove it into his side, and it said it, water and blood flowed out of his side. The Lord, who had been in the grave for 3 days, and his spirit went to paradise. There are some that say that he went to hell and conquered hell. No, he conquered the grave. Because he told the thief on the cross, this day thou wilt be with me where? In paradise. Out of the words of mouth, out of his mouth itself, Jesus said he'd be in paradise. His spirit was in paradise. His body was in the grave. But thank God there was a resurrection, and this corruption put on incorruption. But understand, when Jesus rose from the dead with his body, he still had scars. They were not bleeding any longer. They were not oozing any longer. See, something supernatural had occurred. Something had happened. And yet, the scars were not removed. The evidence of his suffering was still there. The evidence of his crucifixion was still on his body. And so he showed them the scars, and then they were glad. You know, that was one of the reasons that he kept his scars. It was just one of them. Because it proved his identity. The disciples in different places really did not recognize him. Do you remember even Mary in the garden, when Jesus spoke to her, she said she thought it was the gardener? And then it would almost indicated that she might have turned around, but why didn't she recognize the voice of the Savior that she had followed for so many years? Because something had changed. On the road to Emmaus, there were two disciples that had been with the Lord, and yet they did not recognize him until when? Till Jesus prayed, and it said, then their eyes were opened. So there was something that was different about the glorified body of Jesus Christ. There was something they did not recognize to begin with. But Jesus in this condition, and if you have a little different thought, I'm not going to quibble with you about it. But I want us to understand, this was the resurrected body of Christ. All right? And with that resurrected body, he had scars. This resurrected Lord, you read in the next chapter of John, in chapter 21, we read that Jesus, with this body, yes, he walked through doors. He disappeared. There were other times he appeared and talked to him, and then he was gone. How did he leave? The Lord knows the answer to that one. But he did. We find that Jesus here in chapter 21, verse 13, Jesus came again to his disciples, and he took bread, and he gave them, and fish likewise. Jesus ate with this body that passed through doors, with this body, that this resurrected body that disappeared, he still ate. Now, I do not know what our glorified body is going to be like, but I know in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the scripture says that this corruption must put on incorruption. When we die, when Jesus comes back, we are going to be resurrected from the dead, and we also are going to have a glorified body. Jesus had a body that was different, and yet his disciples recognized him because of the scars. Do you know that when someone has died and they're in the morgue and there is a issue of identification, sometimes you can look at the face and not recognize it. So they look for telltale signs. They look for dental records. They look for a mark, something that was unique. In filling out visa applications for some countries, they will ask you, do you have any blemishes or scars or an identifying, something that will identify your body? Jesus had an identifier, and it was his scars. Now you may ask, why didn't his glorified body come back in perfection. But as we meditate on the scripture tonight, I trust by the end that you will know that perfection was a body with scars. It identified who he was. Now, when we have a glorified body, I know we sing the songs about the blind eyes open and the lame walking, and I believe that. But do you know that there's going to be some unique identifiers of things that we have passed through in this life? And I don't know what all God has in store, but we do know and recognize that Christ's body, there was still a reminder of something that took place. It was his identity. The scars in the hands of Christ, they show the price that he paid. And you know, he could have erased those scars. He could have erased them, but they were evidence of what had taken place. They were evidence that he bled for us. They were evidence that he suffered for us. They were evidence that he was a lamb that was slain for us. And when he showed up to his disciples, he showed them that, and they were happy. Because if there would have been no scars, there would have been no joy. But when the disciples saw the scars that brought joy, in a similar story, similar accounting of this incident in Luke in the 24th chapter, verse 37, it said they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Jesus was no longer a spirit in paradise. He was in his glorified body here on earth. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. That it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. One of the things that the scars of Christ did was it enabled them to begin to process their own wounds. The scars caused them to remember the pain and the loneliness and the hopelessness and the failure. But healing does not come by covering up the pain. Healing comes when we are willing to acknowledge there's a wound. That's when healing. And I believe when Christ came and showed them that, it reminded them of where they also had been. But do you know something about a scar is that it means it's healed up. See, a scar does it, it's healed. And it gave them hope also that I also can be healed in my brokenness. Where I once bled, that there is hope for me again through Jesus Christ. His scars represented the reality of that healing. When Jesus appeared to those disciples that might have still feeling some shame and sadness, do you know that when we are saved and followers of Christ, we have joy? There's a peace that passeth understanding. But do you know that we are not exempt from some of the pain that life brings? We are not exempt, and in painful things of our past is not always erased in Jesus Christ. And this is something that sometimes people struggle with. They think, if I get saved, if I am saved, then why is it that I have some scars of the past? The Lord wants to remind us tonight that his body also bore the scars of the past. But those scars were not evidence of defeat. Those scars were evidence of victory. Those scars were a remembrance of where he used to be, but a Lord that is now resurrected. Do you know scars, they bring memories. I have some scars on my body. I have some scars on my hands, and I look at them and I remember how I got them. I have some scars on my face, and I remember it came from chicken pox. When I was a young person, I got chicken pox, and they left something. They bring back memories to me still today. Ethan has a scar right above his eye. A few years ago, he was a little younger and a little smaller. He was playing football with the big boys. Some of you may have been there. And he ended up, his eye ended up on a stump there in Myrtle. And it put a gash right above his eye. Do you know that scar is still a reminder? They had to stitch it. You know when they do the double layer stitches, they have to go down deep. And it's a reminder still today. If it would have just been just a little bit closer, he would have lost his eye. It's a testimony still today of the mercy of God. That scar is not one of defeat. It's one of thank you, Lord, for preserving what could have been taken away. I know probably we all have scars here tonight. Do you know I could, if you came up and said, Brother Michael, I'd like to see, I could show you some little scars on my hand. But do you know tonight we all maybe have some visible scars, but there are some scars that are a whole lot deeper than what you can see on the outside. There are scars in some of our spirits. And if you have lived life very long, if we're just open and honest about it, we would probably, most of us, have to acknowledge that I have some scars inside. Some scars that are reminders of some painful things in the past. Some scars that remind me of hurtful situations, of words spoken, of failures in my own life, of disappointments in other people, in family members that it affected me. There's probably a lot of those scars tonight. But I want you to remember Jesus had some scars too. There are wounds and griefs that even in serving the Lord that can bring back, things can bring back memories from time to time. Do you know that doesn't mean, well, when you have a wound, Jesus wants to bind it up. That's why He came. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. But do you know that heart might still have a scar on it? And that does not mean that Jesus did an incomplete job, because His body still had some scars. But it was a reminder of where I was, of what the Lord did for me. Some of the greatest joys in my life, when I think tonight, when I look back, it goes back to some of the darkest times and some of the most hurtful times, because there the reality of the presence of God was the richest. And I'm still reminded by some of the inward scars, to the point that even, and I won't relate it because it's too personal, but even at certain times, if I hear a car door slam, it brings some very painful memories to me. But it also brings to me the remembrance of the power of God in situations that brought pain and hurt and tears and sorrow. I remember the presence of God. So your scars tonight that might be in your life, do not allow the enemy to make you think that God failed you. But remember that those scars are evidence that there has been healing, and that you are able to move forward from that time where you were hurting and wounded and bleeding. The Spirit of the Lord God, Jesus said in one of the first messages that He ever preached, He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor, to those that are needy, to those that don't have. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. If you have wounds that are deep tonight, who better qualified to minister to those needs than the scarred Christ? The Christ that suffered. The Christ that knew what it was like to be rejected. The Christ that knew what it was like to be forsaken. The Christ that knew what it was like to be unjustly accused. Who better tonight to minister to the wounds of our spirits than a Christ that has scars in His hands? I would so much rather see the Christ with the scars, because I can know He understands. He's been there, and there's healing in those nail-scarred hands tonight. There is healing in the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ. And it's so much more than the scars on my hands in those physical, but to the deepest wounds of your spirit tonight, there is a nail-scarred Christ, thank God, that is able to reach out and bind up the brokenhearted. And if you have been healed tonight, and you look and you say, well, I still have a scar, that still means there's imperfection. No, a scar represents victory tonight. A scar represents that I am not where I used to be, but the Lord did something for me. I am so thankful for a scarred saints of God. Because it gives others hope. When they're hurting, they can say, oh, Brother Philip has a scar. Where'd you get that, Brother Philip? And he said, I went through the fire, and I went through a trial, and I was wounded, but I came out on the other side. And I think, you know what? By the grace of God, I can do that too. Because we serve the same Savior. Oh, don't be afraid of the nail scars in the hands of Christ tonight. But those are the hands that are open in invitation. Those are the hands that do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Those hands are what can do for you what the psychologist cannot do. Those hands are what can do for you what the ministry cannot do. Those hands are what can do for you what coming into this chapel cannot do for you. There is a Savior, a resurrected Lord, that can reach out, and He can reach the deepest needs of our spirit. And it's because He knows what it's like to be wounded. And He was wounded because of us. Thank God for that tonight. Oh, don't make... I just want to put the enemy in his place here by the power of God tonight. Don't allow him to steal the victory from your scars. You may say, well, I've got some scars. Thank God. Meant the Lord did something. They are reminders. So why else did Jesus show the scars to his disciples? Suffering is necessary. We are perfected saints through suffering. The times of greatest spiritual growth come through the most difficult things to understand when you ask yourself, why did God allow this to happen? You keep your eyes on Jesus when you don't understand why a loving God would allow you to go through something like this. And on the other side, you're going to find that you too can be healed and come out on the other side stronger and closer to God than when you went into it. Again, the darkest nights, and they still affect me when I think about them. And I know sometimes we don't talk a lot about them because we do believe in the joy of the Lord. We do believe in the peace of God, but how do we even understand joy and peace if we don't understand suffering? How do we really understand the presence of God if you haven't been in some dark places? And it was in the darkest of places that the Lord revealed in my life His love for me. And it had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with what I had done for the Lord or what I hadn't done. It didn't have anything to do with my failures or my victories. It had to do with a Savior that loved me because I was His child. And it was that love that brought me out of some dark places. Tonight, I trust you don't go through, but if you do, don't be afraid of the darkness, because Jesus is in the middle of the darkness. Jesus will come through with His love and His power. And you may come out of the battle scarred. But what is a soldier that comes out of a battle without being scarred? He was probably in the back line. But you get on the front line for God tonight, there's going to be some battles, and there's going to be some wounds, and there's going to be some hurts, and there's going to be some disappointments. But on the other side of that, there is victory. There is conquering power. There's a testimony that I won a victory by the power of God. Thank the Lord. And there's something else that is hard to understand sometimes, but innocence in our world does not escape suffering. There are children, there are innocent people this tonight that have suffered horribly because of sin. And it leaves a lasting effect. And we say, but yes, the Lord can heal them. Saints, yes, He can. And He does. And He will. But there are still scars left. But the Lord can take that brokenness and make a vessel that is effective in their service for the Lord. If you have been abused, if you have been broken in innocence, was not our Lord innocent? Did He deserve what He went through? No. The thieves on the cross did, but Jesus did not do anything to deserve it. Innocence does not escape suffering in this world. But there is still a God of love that even in innocence can come and bind up and make a new vessel that has some scars still from things that you didn't deserve, maybe in your childhood, maybe in a marriage that's gone bad, maybe in abusive situations in homes, maybe it's been that you have been places. I hear so often of people that have moved around from church to church and they were disenchanted with the ministry and felt like they weren't treated right. Folks, the Lord Jesus has scars. And He can come in and make something in your life that He can use you. You are valuable to the Lord tonight because there is still healing in Jesus. And He has the scars to prove it. So thankful for those scars. And serving God is not about the absence of pain. But it's about the healing presence of Jesus Christ when we get hurt. Charles Spurgeon wrote, he said, if I am a part of the body of Christ, he said, I am a poor and wounded part. Me too, Brother Charles. Amen. Who of us here is perfect in our humanity? You know, Jesus taught us to be perfect spiritually, to have a perfect love, a perfect desire to please God, a perfect commitment to follow the Lord no matter what the cost. But we're all still human. And who of us here has been without pain? Who of us here has not ever felt overshadowed by our humanity? And yet, Christ did not discard us in our brokenness. The body of Christ has some scars. And so, maybe you may not be the hand, you may not be the eye or the ear, but you know, the foot or the little toe, do you know there's value in the little toe? You know, I know that better than some of you. You know how I know? Because I almost cut mine off. And I learned a lesson, and I've got a scar to prove it. Because it, thankfully, it grew back together. But do you know, it didn't grow back straight. It didn't grow back like was what you would say normal. So that means I'm not normal. And that little toe, it hindered my walk. I preached in my socks. I couldn't wear a shoe. And it's still what you might call deformed today. The little toe is very important. Now, that may be more about my toe than you wanted to know. But what about the body of Christ? What about the body of Christ? Because sometimes we can begin to feel inadequate. People can begin to feel inferior. They can begin to feel like, I really don't have much to offer to the Lord. But I want you to remember that Christ has scars on His hands. And the Lord wants to use you as He created you. And He wants to use you in the place that He has brought you to tonight. With the places that you may say, this just is not normal, the Lord says, I've got a special place for you to fit into the body that no one else can fill. There's someone that's going to go through a trial in a while that's going to be very misunderstood, and because you've been there, I can use you to go and be a blessing to them. And maybe you say, I don't know what to say and I don't have the right words. Sometimes it's just an encouragement to look on and see the scar in your brother. Say, I remember you failed. How do we view failure amongst the saints? We ought to be more ready to forgive and restore than we are to cut off and rebuke. Because it might be you next time. And to look at my brother or my sister that has some scars because of their failure, and they're still here, it means I don't have to go away. It means you don't have to go away. It means God's people will still love you and forgive you, and there's a place of restoration. So your scars and your, just allow me to say, your abnormality, the Lord has a special place for you in His body. Amen. Over in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, it said, when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up. This is the last time the disciples were with Christ. Said He was taken up, and the cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Reading in Acts 1, verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner. My question to you is tonight, what body was it that Jesus took up to heaven with Him? It was a nail-scarred body. We don't find any other transformation taking place. This was the body of Christ that He told His disciples, I want you to see my scars. And it brought hope and comfort to them. That was the body that Christ ascended up into heaven with. It is a theme of eternal wonder in heaven. One of the songwriters penned a song, and he represented the angels as asking a question. O Lord of glory, what are the wounds in Thy hands? The angels wondered because, see, Jesus, You left in perfection and You came back to heaven and You were scarred. Do you know those scars were the trophies of heaven? Those scars represented the victory that Christ had over sin. Those scars were ornaments of His glory. The Scripture says that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And what is He doing? He's interceding. Who's He interceding for? For us. But you know, Jesus doesn't always stay seated. You remember when Stephen was being stoned? Where was Jesus? He was standing up. He wasn't sitting down any longer. My son's in trouble. And He stood up. And what do you think when we are in difficulty? Young people, when you are being tempted and it just seems like you just don't know if you can stand anymore, or you are in a battle of affliction, or you are going through the fire, saints, and you just don't know how you can make it, Lord, help us to remember tonight that Jesus, what do you think it does to God when Jesus stands up and says, Father, and God sees the scars on His hands, and He also remembers that I sent my Son and He died on the cross for your healing. He died on the cross for our redemption tonight. He died on the cross so the Savior that is interceding for us tonight. I think there is so much power when He puts His hands up in our behalf at the throne of God, and the Father sees the scars in His hand. And I will just say personally tonight that if it weren't for that, I would not be here tonight. Would you? And I'm not just talking about before I got saved either. There's been a lot of times it was the power of the intercession of my Savior and His nail-scarred hand to the Father that enabled me to get through places that I would not have been able to get through by myself. So tonight, if you are in a battle, you are not alone. If you are struggling tonight, whether by your own fault or whether in your innocency, there is an intercessor that has some scars in His body, and He is before the throne of God tonight interceding in your behalf. And this is the one that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. There is another aspect as we conclude tonight. When Jesus was crucified, there were people that cried out in Matthew 27 and verse 25, when Pilate washed his hands and said, I find no fault in this man. He's innocent. Do you remember what some of the Jews said? They answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and our children. It is a fearful thing to reject the dealings of Jesus Christ. Because at the judgment, when the sheep and the goats are divided, and the Savior divides them, it is those nail-scarred hands that might do that dividing. And they said, just let His blood be upon us. And it will be. Those nail-scarred hands tonight will also judge us at the last day. So I would much rather tonight receive those nail-scarred hands of mercy and forgiveness and intercession and healing in the places in my life that I just don't feel like I can take anymore. I would rather just answer the call of Jesus when He said, come unto Me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And He said, I'll give you rest. In closing, Revelation 1:17. John had a vision of Christ. And he saw Him and he fell down. Verse 17. When I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His hand on me. Do you know what kind of hand that was? It was a scarred hand. He laid His scarred hand on me. And I'm adding that word scar, but it goes with what we read in the Scripture, doesn't it? He laid His hand on me, saying, fear not. Because I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. I am so thankful tonight for a resurrected Savior. And I am so thankful for the scars of Christ that prove to me that there is still healing and victory when things look the darkest. And it can bring hope to each and every one of us. I thank God for the scars of Christ. I'm thankful for your scars tonight. Do you know it's those that have been through the battles that Give us courage. Keep going. Know there's been those that have gone before us. And if you were just perfect and didn't have any scars, that would make me wonder about me a whole lot more. But when I see your scars, that encourages me. And I would that it be an encouragement to each one of us and know that the Lord is there to minister to every need we have with His nail-scarred hands. Amen.